open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your words proclaimed, we may hear joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Thank you, Logan. Why don't you come out here so everyone can see you? And this is Nate, or Nathan. He's going to read our Bible story today.
Jesus set out on the great rescue. He was going to get God's people back, but first he needed to find some helpers and friends. He had a lot to do. He would need some people to help him. Who would make good helpers, do you think? Clever ones? Rich ones? Strong, important ones? Some people might think so, but I'm sure by now you don't need me to tell you they'd be wrong, because the people God uses don't have to know a lot of things or have a lot of things. They just have to need him a lot. One day, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw some brothers and friends mending their nets. They were poor fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Let's go." Peter, Andrew, James, and John looked up at this man on the shore, and they couldn't explain it. Their boats needed to be put away. Their nets needed mending. Fish were still wriggling on the shore, but something about the stranger made them just drop their nets and their fish, leave their boats and everything, and follow him. This God man was like no one they had ever met. When they looked at Jesus, their hearts filled up with a wonderful forever sort of happiness, and inside it was as if they were running in an open field. Jesus asked 12 men to be his helpers: Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Matthew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, another James, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. Meeting Jesus would change all of them forever.
Thank you, Nate. Good job.
I almost don't want to preach. I'd rather have Russell come back and do the science stuff. My goodness. Thank you, Logan, for preparing us to hear our scripture, and thank you, Nate, for reading it today. I'm really thankful for this Sunday, and particularly the kids who have embraced their leadership as followers of Jesus. So I give thanks for that. Let us pray as we prepare to hear a word from God this morning. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the many days that you have given to us to make that choice to follow you. Thank you for the opportunity as adults and young persons to choose to lead our youngest to follow Jesus. Oftentimes, it is children who lead us as adults to the truth of who God is. And so may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I am not disillusioned to think about the fact that it is me who stands between you and snow cones. So I will not be preaching for an hour as I threatened I would do with Jeffrey earlier this morning. But, you know, to hear this story, the way we read it today was a little differently. And remember, we've been inviting you to read scripture from your own translations, whatever that might be. But we've been reading it from our Jesus Storybook Bible because we wanted the story to be accessible to our youngest, our littles. And we as adults are hearing it in a different way. Now, this call story is often familiar to us. We often think about Jesus walking along the beach side and calling Peter, James, and John to leave their livelihood to come and follow Jesus. The story that the kids actually heard was a little different, that Jesus was calling Matthew, the tax collector, and Thomas, and these other not as well-known stellar disciples, right? But the invitation remained the same. Come and follow me. come and see. Now, I'm going to ask this question because I kind of already know the answer, but this is participatory. So if you've had the opportunity to work with kids or be a parent or a teacher, whatever it is, how many times have some little person run up to you and say, come and see what I did? Yes? Okay. Mom, come here. You got to see, right? And I'm going to say that this is likely, I'm looking at you, Austin, and thinking about my older ones. You didn't do that at all when you were little, did you? Well, I don't know. Do you think you did? I bet even our teenagers could probably say, no, I didn't do that. But the reality is, us with a little bit of memory remember a lot more. And I can say, in the course of being a stay-at-home mom for a short period of time, I would probably be told to come and see at least 50 times a day. Am I right? Like, if we're potty training, come see what I did. If I'm in a room that I'm not supposed to be, come see what I did. Look and see. Look at this beautiful artwork that I did on your living room wall. But I think, at least for me, and I will use I language, there were so many times where I was just like, yeah, okay. And I would do this, and I'd go, uh-huh, that's great, honey. Keep going. Turn around. Mom, come see. Honey. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I'm trying to do the dishes. Walk away. Mom, come see. Yes, what is it this time? Oh, it's lovely. I'm so glad you put those two blocks together. Keep building. I'll be back. You walk away. And I could tell you that there were times where I would get very weary. And I would not have the same level of excitement as the child who was inviting me to come and see. And I'm just using eye language. That was just kind of how I was, because it was nonstop from the minute they woke up to the time they went to bed. And by the end of the day, I'm like, oh my gosh, silence is beautiful. I love my children. And then we could get up and my level of excitement would go from here down to here by the end of the day. And then I thought about what this would be like if it was Jesus. Imagine Jesus as that young child who is so excited about what is going to happen that Jesus says, come see what I'm doing. And maybe the first time we're like, yeah, that's really kind of cool, Jesus. Thanks. I'm going to go back over here and do what I was doing. And then Jesus says, come and see. You have no idea what I'm about to do. Yeah, that's great, Jesus. That's awesome. I'm going to go back over here and do what I was doing. So sometimes I think that our call to see that's extended by Jesus, I don't know that we're always that excited in a response to that. Sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. And yet here we are still answering that call to follow and to come and see. Am I right? And sometimes we're like, well, Jesus can't be calling me. I'm just a person. Like, you know, I'm a student in college. Jesus isn't calling me. Or I am now retired from my years of service in civil duty, right? Like, I've worked 30 years for the government. Jesus isn't calling me. Or maybe you're a young person and we extend an invitation to say, come and read. And they're like, Jesus is not calling me to do that, right? And then we think we don't sometimes have what we think God wants us to offer. And then that leads us to think that we can't all offer the same thing because we're not all the same people. And the things that Jesus needs to help others to follow and make that choice to come and see requires each and every one of you and what you uniquely bring, inherent to who you are. So some of you did answer that call this week to lead arts and crafts. Oh my goodness. I saw Shrinky Dinks on the first day and I said, sign me up. Right? If I had known that they were having that much fun in science, I probably would have skipped out on all the other stuff I was doing to hang out in there. And I got to participate in some of the fantastic snacks that were done later, right? Because I'm like munching it at my desk thinking this is fantastic. And the games, just to think that there were some games that were well suited to some kids and other games that were well suited to other kids. And the Bible story, that invitation to come and experience Scripture in a different way, where it was embodied through the spoken word of our youth, to the props that were used, and, if I can say it, Super Meerkat always extended the invitation, right? To get up, to dance, to figure out what it was that Jesus was calling us to do. And so for my people who were at VBS, we were called to be heroes. And there were certain things that we were called to do as part of being superheroes. So the first night, what were we called to do? To follow Jesus. And then the next night, we were reminded that we are all called to be heroes to do what? To help others. And then the next night, we were reminded that heroes are called to do what? To work together. And then finally, at the end, when we think that there are people amongst us who don't have things well to offer to God, we are called to show what? Grace. We are called to show grace. And I think for us as those adults who interact with littles, you know, that weariness, you know, God will offer us grace and say, you get a new day to start over tomorrow. I'm looking at my teacher over there in the back being like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're talking about. That we get the opportunity each and every day to receive God's grace in abundance to answer that call. And whatever form or fashion, whatever role you are currently in, you are called to follow, to come and see what Jesus will do in and through you. So when Jesus says, hey, I need you to count the money after church on Sunday, you're going to say, heroes are called to work together, right? What I'm saying is every day you have the opportunity to answer God's call. Every opportunity you are invited to come and see. Because we are made the promise that God's mercies are new each and every day. That there is an adventure to behold as followers of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to let our littles help guide me a little bit, to keep me accountable, to excite me, to engage me, to invite me, to have that excitement to see what God is doing. So sisters and brothers in Christ, to my littles who were here all week, heroes were called to follow Jesus. So we extend that invitation to come and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.